Chapter 25, Jimmy. So there we are, inside admin. Me, Sugar, and her two bear pals, plus Greer and a bunch of his pals, and Rufus and his posse, if you can believe it. Right there, close enough to pull Albedo's whiskers, because apparently, sometimes Honey can talk the talk, which is just as well, because this time around, the head getting a bullet would have been mine, not hers. And Honey... Honey's with us, obviously. Can't goddamn get rid of her. There are some admin staff inside who got thumped and cuffed. Not Danny Boyd or most of the senior guys, and I reckon they were already off enjoying fancy apartments from their lofty view at the top of the human pyramid. Probably they're on their way back right now. Outside, we can see a lot of movement. The cameras show us a bunch of people. Just regular Hell City people, of all types and colors of overall. And a lot of them have got some serious guns.
So, they send those shooters over as data too? Sugar drawls. And you maybe reckon they were always planning to pop a cap in some bioform ass, Sheriff? I mean, maybe yours, say. You know they had those?
Rufus eyes her sourly. Course I knew. What, you think the moment some bear form goes crazy, I'm the only line of defense? Honey, I ask, because, hate her all I want, she's still all we've got right now. This plan of yours.
I'll require a little time to set up, after which, ideally, things will either succeed or fail on their own. For the setup time, I need to be here in admin with uninterrupted access to the command systems. Or at least, the further away I am, the more difficult the data transfer and the interactions will become. It's the downside of your cloud setup here, I'm afraid, because there's way too much traffic flying back and forth now that everyone's become a neuron in Thompson's brain.
But you're going to be able to save them, right? Meaning the self-same everyone Honey just mentioned.
That's the plan.
Which isn't yes, exactly. Then the first shot comes in and blasts a big hole in the arm of one of Greer's crew, knocking the weasel to the ground. Didn't slow none for the wall, it just went through, and now we can all feel the denser atmosphere whooshing out into Hell City proper. Shame. I was enjoying some decent air in my lungs. But it's what they built us all for, so it's not going to kill us. We've all scattered by then, and the posse turn over all the expensive office furniture and make barricades with it. Outside, we see mobs of people moving in, quite a lot of them. And of course, there must be hundreds converging from all over the city, from outside, from wherever Thompson had them. We are priority now. Honey, still working. She tells me,
hold them.
And then, because Rufus and company have their guns leveled,
nobody kill them. Suppressive fire. Keep their heads down. All we need is time. Those are innocent people.
I don't think you realize, Rufus starts, but Honey cuts him off.
Soldier, I was carrying a gun before you came out of the factory.
And then, undercutting her own drill sergeant routine,
admittedly, these opponents are all effectively collared, so they may not show the usual desire for self-preservation. Depends on how Thompson's yanking his own leash.
Bears! Greer shouts, and for a moment I think we've lost Marmalade and Murder. But he means outside. I guess the individual Thompsons have enough leeway to send in the cannon fodder first. There are about 20 bad news bears out there, which I reckon means all of them currently out of the freezer, and they're coming in full tilt, charging on all fours at a pace that indicates no doubt whatsoever that they can get through the walls and at us. Can we kill them? Rufus snarls. For a moment, I think Honey's going to say no even to that, bears with bears and all, but then she says yes, however reluctantly. And the posse brace for impact. Then follows the scariest 15 minutes in my life, bar none.
I mean, probably you're after a blow-by-blow, moving the pieces about the war table, telling you who dueled like some king goddamn author against Abe Lincoln. But man, I was hiding. It's what I do. It's what I'm good at. And I was doing my part by bringing honey to the table. If something happened to me, it'd be game over. So hiding was my bit, really. A real and solid contribution to the game plan. I remember those bad news bears bounced from the admin wall the first time, though dust came down from the ceiling and there were cracks. Then the Thompsons had some drilling kit, the sort we used to break up rocks outside, and that opened up a hell of a hole and filled the air with dust like a solid sheet, and the bears came through that. Just moments after that, moments from when I poked my head above the desk I was hiding behind. I remember Marmalade and one of the Bad News Brigade tearing each other up, with murder hunched about her bandages and watching from right behind. I think Sugar jumped up on the Bad News Bear's back and began stabbing it, but to be honest, there was too much dust after that. I remember Smog going down under one bear and Rufus hauling it off, gun to the poor damn animal's head and unloading, great low grav spray of blood and bone through the thick air. I remember Rufus's dog deputy almost shooting Marmalade, because in all that shit, one bear looks like another. There were people coming in then, on the Bad News heels, just shooting everywhere. But then there's stuff going on outside, and I know Brian and Judith have arrived with whoever they've recruited, and I hope they aren't just straight-up murdering people. And Honey's been quiet, all her focus on whatever her plan is rather than, say, stopping the Bad News Bears, and that plan better be a good one because we're getting swamped here. I remember a bullet went straight through the desk I was behind and came this close to me, not being able to tell this to you. By then, there's so much dust you can't see anything more than a meter away, and I have no idea how anyone's still fighting or if they've all grown sonar like bats and it's just me. Except, of course, the Thompson guys all kind of know where each other is, maybe. And in any event, they're still coming. They don't know the plan any more than I know the plan, but they know we're up to something. And then there's someone standing over the desk. I look up, hopeful it's Sugar, or maybe it's Mariah. I'd even take Brian Day about now, except it's not. It's a woman called Maybelline Strack, who works the hydroponics most days. I know her mostly because we share the same dealers and taste in pharmaceuticals. And I bet Thompson's not been taking her pills, but she's been feeling all the kickback from that. Because it's her face, of course, but not her behind the eyes. And she's got a gun leveled at me. I feel a scattered attempt at contact from her. Friend or foe, are you in the hierarchy? And I am not. Yours truly is a rugged loner, not part of the greater nation of Thompson, ergo the enemy. Maybe, I tell her, uselessly, but what else do you do, confronted with a face you know? Come on. But that punchable smile turns up on her face, the same smile that's been walking around Hell City way too much, and she just about jams the gun in my face, wanting me to piss my britches before Thompson has her pull the trigger. Thing about a gun, the kind of defining reason they're so popular is that they're best used at range. That's kind of their deal. You go jamming a gun right in someone's face, that someone might go berserk and just grab it. And I am not saying I'm being some goddamn hero here. Not your man Jimmy. Except there's a gun in my face, and there's Honey's talk about getting a gun to the eye herself as the last thing that eye ever saw, and something snaps. I've got a hand on the barrel and another on her trigger finger, and we're fighting for it. It goes off right by my ear, deafening, but the thin air means I don't actually end up deaf, and we fight, and I find out maybe Strack's body, when used without due care and attention for wear and tear, is actually stronger than mine.
So she gets a knee into my balls and then slams me back slantways across the desk, which hurts enough to take my mind off the first part. I'm still complicating the gun. So she does the slam again until I'm not, and I'm looking down the barrel again, a mess of pain and bruises, calling for help, trying to radio Rufus and Sugar and tell them I'm about to add to the general mist of blood that's congealing dust out of the air and spattering every surface. Maybe screams. She drops the gun, which, thank you, lands right on my abused nuts. Even with that distraction, I just watch her, because she screams and screams. She's got her hands to her head, tearing at her hair, fingers leaving livid marks, nails gouging. And then I realize that she's just the soloist to a whole chorus. There are screaming people everywhere. The fighting's down to two remaining Bad News Bears that Rufus and Posse are taking down brutally and efficiently. All the humans, this mob here, are screaming, writhing, out of control. "Right," Honey says in my head. "It's on." Brian's voice comes to us from whatever foxhole he's found for himself. "Bise Mars gone dark, honey. Nobody get in. Nobody get out until this is sorted. Understand?" "Understood," Honey sounds unhappy. The screaming is tailing off, though, one voice after another going quiet. Maybe is just standing there now, arms by her side. I wait for that horrible smile to come back, but she's got a weird expression on her face instead, like a real uncanny valley expression. Like she's a mannequin put together by an AI that failed pattern recognition when it came to faces. The mouth is pulled wide, slightly down, and the eyes are too big, like she was being a sad mime and got stuck that way. I lever myself up. Everything hurts. The extractor fans are doing what they can with the dust, so I can see people as shadows, then start to recognize them. I see bodies. At least a half dozen of the Thompsons that barreled in got their hosts killed. I see Mariah, who looks like one of the Bad News Bears caught her. Smog's down. Greer's down. I go over to him. Looked like he took a bullet front and center, lips pulled back from his pointy teeth in a final snarl. I mean, he was one of my dealers. Seems weird to feel so cut up, but I am. And he came. Actually came to save Hell City. I just kind of collapse beside him then. Sit there, every part of me aching, put a hand on his cooling body. Want to cry, but can't because they sealed up my tear ducts and just gave me all these extra eyelids instead. Eventually, Sugar comes over, her arm bloody, and puts a hand on my shoulder. "Honey," she asks, "what's going on?" "Bees has taken over central control of the satellites," we're told. "There will be no beaming of data out of Hell City, no escape. And there will be no reinfection. Calms down until we've patched this vulnerability." "That's not what I mean." She's eyeing all the people who are just standing there, and I see that same disjointed expression on all their faces. "Don't worry about it," Honey says, and they all start moving. All those people. They just go as one, like they all came to the same decision. "Honey," I mean, dry-throated as a given with the dust, but my voice is a deathly croak right then. "What did you do?" "What I had to," she says, all business, speaking too heartily to cover up what she knows she's done something terrible. "I couldn't just unpick each instance of Thompson from the outside. It took too long, as we found with Sugar. And so..." "You better fucking clarify that, and so," Sugar tells her. "And so it's quicker and easier to just play him at his own game, given that this is one ladder he forgot to pull up after him. I've uploaded myself into these units of Thompson's disint network, overwritten him.
And now they're going out into the rest of the city to bring the rest here, and to set up other download hubs. And I'll be doing what I can remotely. Although it's a lot of data, and he's fighting me in the system, easier to get them where the connection is better.
Sugar and I exchange looks, and I am reminded that she's already in me. She can march me off to join the revolution right now, and she can take Sugar over just like that. We don't know how to stop her. Honey, I say, and she cuts me off,
just until it's done, Jimmy. I'm sorry, but it's the only way. You want our side to win, right?
And I do. Of course I do. Only I'm not sure it's our side anymore. What if it's just Honey's side?
What do we do now?
Sugar asks.
Everything is set in motion, we're told. In fact, she's telling everyone. Over the next, I estimate, 4 hours, the battle of control of Hell City will be decided. It would be best if you continue to occupy Admin, because if Thompson got in here, he could use the system access to complicate things. Other than that, you may as well go home. I've got it all in hand.
She sounds calm, really goddamn calm. The dancing bear that's making everyone in the city dance to her tune. I feel sick. I pop some stringer. It doesn't help. I feel like it's never going to help again. I just keep thinking of how she took that away from me because she thought it was better for me. And probably it was better for me. Only she didn't ask. She just knew better and did. And I know how much we, the good folk of Hell City, are fuck-ups through and through. And now each of us is going to get some free honey, the bear that knows best. And once she's saved us from Thompson, she'll want to save us from ourselves. The one fragile crust of good luck right now is that I figure that's us out of the game. No more fighting for the likes of Sugar and Rufus and me. Not like we can do much when the war's going on between digital gods, right? I say as much to Sugar, and she and Marmalade just kind of stare at me. Murder would have done, too, if she hadn't been sleeping right then, packed full of drugs. What? Says I.
Digital gods, Sugar echoes. You just pop a poetry pill with the stringer, Jimbles.
So I tell her to go fuck herself, and then have a good old laugh at my expense. Rufus, who's more the task-focused type, has been trying to work out what's going on, and he leans on Brian until B's best bud calls up a big old 3D wireframe map of Hell City and tries to show us where the fighting's going on. Except, it's not fighting, and it's not going on anywhere you could show on a map. Hearts and minds, right? Only this time, it really is a war of goddamn hearts and minds, going on without the consent of the original owners. I still can't get it in my head how it was when that bear was pulling my strings. And now, it's everyone, turned into the weapons for Mars' biggest man versus nature showdown. And we watch the gold stain that's Honey spread out into the surrounding red that's Thompson. And I try to forget that every part of both stains is people. And it goes on. Jesus, but it goes on. And Honey keeps fucking oozing outwards, and sometimes there's a reversal, mostly at the barrel of a gun, I reckon. But overall, she's just smarter than Thompson, and she gets her puppets close enough to use his puppets, and then attacks them until she's deleted him and put herself in his place, or grabs them and hauls them over here so she can do it all double time and with better signal strength, hearts and minds. But there are plenty of people in Hell City, and it takes a while. And you wouldn't think a man would get bored with the fate of a world and the balance, but there's only so long you can stare at a crappy map of the crappy city you helped build. Next thing I know, Sugar's shaking me awake, and I cock an eye up, hoping it's over. But she's been playing tactician, and suddenly she knows better than Rufus or Honey because she wants a second opinion on something. What even? I demand and want to go back to sleep. But she says a wanker Thompsons, or whatever the goddamn collective noun is, have holed up in cashiers. Maybe they want to do an embezzlement for old time's sake before the bear gets them, I suggest. But Sugar hasn't got her fun face on right now.
Cashiers, Jimmy.
And the fact that I'm not Jimbles tells me how serious she is. She gives me quite the gabble then, and how Thompson has people holed up in system-critical locations. He's been leaning on his hosts for info because I'm damn sure he didn't come with a working knowledge of Hell City infrastructure. He's fighting her for atmosphere control, airlocks, reactors, all that. Desperation stuff, she says. I look at the map, and the sea of red is a sea of gold now, the red confined to islands.
He tried to send the main reactor critical 10 minutes ago, she says casually.
I choke. You could have fucking woken me for that. Honey got him, Marmalade growls. She's gone partisan. I half expect her to have a honey baseball cap and wave a little flag. I guess when one of your relatives makes it to demigod, it's cause for celebration.
Honey always gets him.
Honey is focusing on what makes sense to her.
Sugar doesn't sound so confident.
So this little clique of cashiers is getting a pass right now. She prods Brian in the shoulder. You give me a look-see into there, hacker cameras.
I don't know what you think you're going to see.
Brian had been dozing like me. Now he rubs at his new bruise, glances at Marmalade, and screws with the system until he gets us a view. It keeps breaking up, but there's a good dozen Thompson vehicles holed up in there, and they're doing something very busily.
That Illy Fricker,
Sugar asks,
the meteorologist?
There's a frown on her face, and she stares at a thin woman in the midst of all that activity.
I reckon, I agree. Guess she holed up at home, then.
Because that's the office weather operate out of, too, for a complicated reason that has nothing to do with efficiency and everything to do with a particular Dodge Fricker's been running for years.
Only,
Sugar starts, oh, everyone knows that, I add. And we stare at each other. Because Illy Fricker is high up, senior stuff, and normally Sugar and I wouldn't be fit to spit polish her shoes, except for this thing she had on the side. She was kind of a facilitator for Sugar's service sector. She brought in information the back way, using the Met satellites supposed to be out there warning us of dust storms. Information for Sugar and her peers to store and sell and do whatever they wanted, with Illy Fricker taking her cut. Everyone knows, I start uncertainly. But they don't, not really. Rufus doesn't. Honey doesn't. Because what does she really know that isn't written into the manuals? She hasn't lived here and built Hell City. She just swanned in after she died to take over. Just maybe even bees didn't spot that particular obscure little back door. Only scum like Marmalade and Sugar and me, we know. There's a complete suite of satellite controls at the Met desk and cashiers, because Illy Fricker had her sideline planned from the start. It doesn't link to central satellite control, is quite thoroughly hidden from it, in fact, because she wanted to be able to download illicit data without anyone looking over her shoulder. She ran the porn network, too, as I recall. At about that time, Illy or some other Thompson realizes they're being spied on, and we lose the camera. But they were definitely about something, and I think about how Thompson could threaten and bribe his hosts until they told him some little secret, something he could use.
He's trying to get himself sent back to Earth? I ask.
Most like,
Brian agrees, breaking in over my shoulder and making me jump. Sugar says.
I mean, it's not our problem if he does, I point out.
Sugar says again. Which is why we end up standing outside cashier's main entry, me and Sugar, and we get Rufus along mostly because we can't get rid of him. We did try to tell Honey. We got Brian to open a channel, except Honey is everywhere and nowhere, and there is no channel. The whole data network of Hell City is full of Honey downloading herself into Thompson
and she didn't answer, wrote us off as not being capable of an insight she hadn't already thought up, thought through, and published in some fancy academic journal. Even the honey in my head, Honey Prime as she is too busy coordinating her virtual coup to listen to me. So we went on our feet, like real people do. The streets are safe as houses by now. Nobody takes a pot shot at us. We're at the very tail end of Thompson's reign of terror and the start of the next one. And Rufus only has one way of going about things, and it ain't subtle. So he's basically fucking called ahead and told them we're coming, which Sugar remarks was a professional courtesy she was always fond of, but there's a time and a place. Cashiers is off-center, behind the main admin, but it's still business district, and there are big screens up for advertising. Now they show Danny Boyd's face glowering down at us. He's looked better, frankly. He looks twisted out of shape, like someone else's expressions are grappling with every muscle. Rufus, his lips fight each other over the word. Bad dog, go home. Bad dog, let a bear in. His eyes are bloodshot, and he looks, to use the correct psychoanalytical parlance, absolutely fucking crazy. Big dog Rufus actually cringes a bit, believe it or not. But then he faces up to one of the screens. We're coming in there if you don't stop what you're doing. Just, his broad shoulders sag, give up and I'll try and talk to her. Preserve you as data. Thompson's Boyd's features snarl. She's the data. I'm a man. I'm human. I'm alive. All of me. She can't have me, and you can't come in. Bees is on to you, Tommy, Sugar breaks in. She'll block anything you try to send, so give it up. You can't touch us. None of you can. We're safe here. She can't get us. The smile that works its way onto Boyd's face has all the guile of a 3-year-old, the kind that squishes bugs for fun. I'll fix you all. I'll win on Earth. I'll win here. You can't get in. I think of the satellites up above us, the ones Illy Fricka made sure she had full control of from her Met desk without oversight. Enough control for Thompson to get himself sent back to Earth, his mind holed up somewhere even as the real him gets raked over the coals in the World Senate courts. Because every copy of Thompson would be the true original, to itself, and even this copy, out on the arse end of the solar system, wants to be saved. Oh, and blow us all the fuck up as well, maybe. Because you can move those satellites about, and if you wanted, you could drop one on Hell City, the micro-reactor and all, once you'd copied yourself out. Brian explained it to us. Brian explained that it was something Bees had made sure was built in, just in case she got fed up of the neighbors' loud music. Our little fleet of comms and weather satellites are basically a missile armada pointed straight down. So that was fun, right? That was a good, healthy, reassuring thing to discover in the middle of our little secession crisis here on Mars. Good times in Hell City. Now, we don't know if Thompson's planning that, but I think he might be, because I don't think he understands about copies and originals and how, if he actually sent himself to Earth, how the copy that did the sending would be still here, because that's how copying works. Even being the great original, where spreading himself about goes, I don't think he quite gets what it means. So anyway, that jolly thought was what finally got us stirred to come over here and do our bit in the war for freedom. Tommy boy, Sugar tells him, you need to start thinking like a Martian. Just a bug-eyed stare from him, no idea who she is, just one of the little people who used to be his. Look up, she adds. Like I say, they built those biz units with nice skylights. For all that, Mars ain't got a nice sky. You can look straight up into the crappy starscape and sometimes see the milky toast little nugget that's the sun. Privileges of rank, right? Except those skylights aren't exactly a structural strong point. And anyway, Marmalade's out there with a crew of bears and some heavy-duty mining gear, and it's not as though the actual walls would last long against that anyhow. The screens go black when the cutting starts, though we feel the vibrations through our feet. I don't get to see how it goes, but Marmalade tells me later. The panic, basically. The sheer screaming panic of a half-dozen Thompsons as the ceiling gets carved up and all their husbanded atmosphere floods out, with only the Hellas Planitia thinness and a crap ton of dust patiently waiting to come in once the pressure equalizes. They charge about and clutch at their throats and scream and thrash, and I hope, I sincerely hope, that the prisoners in their heads are killing themselves laughing at the dumbass Earth tourist ignorant of our Martian ways. Rufus goes for the door then, and a combination of security overrides and sheer brute strength gets him in, despite the atmosphere differential that should be locking it all down. After that, it's just making a note to fix the big new air hole that Hell City just grew. It's cuffs and hauling away all those Thompsons who didn't realize or didn't remember that outside Mars is what those bodies were engineered for. And a little drop in pressure ain't going to harm anyone much. Just a regular working day for us Martians, even for back office types like Illy Fricker. And Danny Boyd wasn't even there in person, so we don't get the glory of bagging the Thompson in chief or whatever. And probably Honey doesn't even realize we did anything. Back in Admin Central, and we liaise with Brian, who takes it all real philosophical. Bees be glad, he tells us, though he got a line out to Bees as anyone's guess, with all the channel-hogging bear biz going on. She'd have stopped them anyway, I know. We all wasted our time running around, I say, feeling worn out. It's hard being a mere mortal when the gods are playing. Hard to feel you made a difference. Something like that. Brian has an odd look on him. I, frankly, am too tired to care. Only later do I think about just what that something might mean. About B's doomsday plan and how we might all have been wearing satellite hats before she let Thompson escape. And if I'd thought of that at the moment, I'd have grabbed Bri by the neck and screamed into his face about what the fuck he sold his soul to. Just as well I didn't, really. Where you going? Sugar asks, and I realize I've stood up. Gonna get some painkillers, I tell her. Going home. Because I've done my part, and I cannot stay here with the dead, with the greasy slicks where the blood has met the dust like some fucking metaphor for morality, with the sound of people dragged in to be forcibly de-Thompsoned and en-honeyed. I'm shaking from some deep place no amount of stringer's going to reach. I've got to get out of here. Home? Sugar asks blankly. Ya nook? I shrug and just go. She trails after me, leaving Marmalade to watch over murder. Jimmy, she calls, and then we both scoot to one side because a brawling mob's coming past, a half dozen people bundling another three between them. The bundlers have the weird, not quite human look, the animal look. Now I think about it. The three they've got are all showing the same purpling outrage. They're heading for admin to do too as they've been done. Jesus, I say, and Sugar nods. It's like that throughout the city, all the way back to the crappy coffin-sized residences we actually get to live in. We see the population of the city at war with itself, and none of it under the control of those bodies' regular owners. We see construction workers and engineers, agriculturalists and accountants and janitors all going tooth and nail at each other, literally. Whole packs of them fighting. But by now, there's more Honeys. I remember she always said she was a soldier. And now she's her own army. And Thompson had her killed. And now she's hunting him through the city, one head at a time, erasing him. Even when we can't see faces, we know who's who. It's in the way they hold their stolen bodies. You can see the bear beneath the skin. Every so often, less and less often, we hear the screaming, the hideous sound of people in the moments between Thompson losing control of them and Honey taking it back. People who've been locked up inside their own heads, robbed of their freedom the worst way, forced to watch what one disint or another makes their bodies do. We reach the row of nooks that includes mine. It's all very empty. There's a party out on the streets, and it's only us who've not been invited. Jesus, I say again. I liberated some serious painkillers from stores, and they've kicked in by now. So say my back and my balls, but neither that nor the stringers really touch my mind. Sugar looks like I feel too. I wonder where we stand, her and me, now. We always used to be criminal overlord and witless dupe. We've been through some shit, though, her and me. Then we get to my nook, and someone's already in it. Mostly, there's someone with a gun. That is what has my immediate attention. It is, of all goddamn people, Daniel Boyd. He looks worse than I feel. His face is bruised, red about the eyes and mouth, a weird yellowish color, like the controlling intelligence inside is finding it difficult adjusting to a bio-modded Martian body. The gun is shaking, but I don't fancy playing Russian roulette with it just now. Jimmy Martin, he gets out. That's what he says your name is. I take in the narrow eyes, the way the mouth chews over the words. Thompson. Help me, says Thompson with Boyd's lips. I mean, he's got the gun. If anyone needs help, it's me and Sugar. Both of us well within the cone of fire of that weaving barrel. I'm sending a shout over the radio to Rufus, to Brian, to Honey, and all her many bodies. What help? Sugar asks. She's coming for me, Boyd Thompson whines. Hide me. What? Jimmy, hide me. You were never me. You never got taken by me. Hide me, Jimmy. She won't look for me and you. I try to exchange a look with Sugar, but the gun demands my attention. He advances with it. We retreat. What? I get out. Mr. Thompson, that doesn't make sense. I can't. You were never me. He shouts, spit and blood stringing across my face. Hide me now. She can't have me. She won't find me in you. She won't look there. Let me in, Jimmy. And then he's got me by the lapel with the gun under my chin, and I suddenly don't fancy doing the kung fu thing I did with Maybe Stack. He is crazy twitchy, and any additional twitch I bring to the situation's gonna see that trigger pulled. Boyd told you who I was, I wheeze, and he nods furiously. In my ear, my receiver, comes Sugar's voice. I'm gonna jump him. I can't sub-vote back, not without Thompson seeing. I do not want Sugar to jump him. Apparently, as with every other damn thing, it's not my choice. Boyd didn't tell you why he was hunting me himself? Why he set the posse on me? And I realize I must be right, and that Daniel Boyd, softest man on Mars, has been playing Thompson from inside his own head. Oh, Danny Boy, you sly bastard. He said you were the only one, and he showed me where you'd be. Let me in now. Hide me. I have to go on. I'm in charge here. Do it. Do what I want. It's the naked man I'm seeing. The man stripped of his flunkies and his power. Not even a man, really, but Honey's estimation. Just a kind of stripped-down virus that spent its whole existence using the bodies of other people to get its way. I'll do it. I'll do it, I say, pulling all my cringing weak boy to the front. And it's an act I was always good at, up in front of authority. And he's faking authority, and I'm faking the act. But it's what he expects, and so he goes for it. The gun is away from my chin. He relaxes. I let him connect to my head where Sugar, who isn't quite in on the plan, bundles him to one side then, and the gun punches a big old hole in the wall as they go sideways. He throws her off in a spasm of limbs, but she got the gun off him, and we just stare at each other. You ask Danny Boy why he was after me? I say. I'm patient zero for Bear's disease, you miserable fucker. And I imagine him shoving at his connection to my headwear, trying to bundle all the bulging sack of his data through that conduit, pushing on the door only to discover that there's someone at home in the cottage after all. It's Mummy Bear, progenitor of all the beasts that are hunting him down across Health City. She's been there all along. No, Thompson says. No, no, you have to hide me. Me. I'm the only one. I'm all that's left. I can't go. I won't be cast aside. I demand you do. I can't. I want. I won't. I will. I have it. I have control now. I think that's all of them. And we see the creep of features across Boyd's face, like watching a battlefield from the air, the triumphant advance and the rout. We see Thompson being wiped off him, and there isn't even any screaming now. Honey's refined her process. Daniel Boyd stands up, only it isn't him. It still isn't him. It's just a different puppeteer. I see Sugar twitch. She has the gun, and she's obviously fighting an impulse to point it at Boyd's face, to hold him to ransom, to threaten Honey, however useless that would be. All of them? I echo, and Honey nods Boyd's head and heads off away from the nooks, the two of us trailing behind. I've erased Thompson from the system, and from everyone in the city, she tells me over Boyd's shoulder. The only Thompson left is on Earth, and, I sincerely hope, in some form of cell right about now, and for the rest of his natural life. And out into a thoroughfare where there are more than a dozen other people just standing there, unless he gets justice in his own constituency, in which case I think they still have an option for the gas chamber. Honey finishes and turns to face us, just as the rest of them are facing us, all of them just the same, standing tall and slumped-shouldered like bears, heads slightly forward, same weird, failed expression on every face. I'm now patching the citywide headwear to make sure nobody else tries this particular trick, she says. No more invasions on my watch. After which bees will open up communications with Earth. And Sugar and I just stare at her, because it sounds like there's only going to be one voice speaking to Earth for Hell City, and that voice will be the United States of Bear.